Hello, this is Deborah Harper, President of Psych Journey. Welcome to the Psych Journey Podcast, www.psychjourneypodcast.com. Imagine your frustrated four-year-old calming her own anger with a few simple breaths. Picture your fourth grader visualizing an ice blue pillow to cool his hot headaches. Or your worried 11-year-old improving her concentration by consulting a personal wizard to help with homework. Our guest, Dr. Charlotte Resnick, Ph.D., author of The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success, published by Parakeet Trade, will teach us how to empower our children with easy, effective, and creative skills for surviving and thriving in a stressful world. Charlotte Resnick, Ph.D., is a nationally recognized child educational psychologist and associate clinical professor of psychology at UCLA. She created Imagery for Kids, Breakthrough for Learning, Creativity, and Empowerment, which she has used with thousands of children, parents, and professionals for more than 25 years. Resnick is a consultant, counselor, and healer, and maintains a private practice in Los Angeles, California. Visit her website, www.imageryforkids.com. Welcome, Dr. Resnick.
Oh, it's great to be speaking with you.
Well, thank you. Well, your work is absolutely fascinating. And I was curious, how did you first become interested in using visualization and imagery as therapeutic tools with children?
You know, it sort of evolved out of my own desires and love of art and the work I did with kids in the inner city. I not only studied psychology, but studied art, so it was an easy access for me personally. And when I was working in the inner city, the kids were really desperate. There was so much darkness around them, and just regular counseling techniques just didn't cut it with them. But I had to find a way to kind of touch their heart and touch their soul, and I found this way, by helping them go inside, they could touch their own wisdom, and it moved them, and it made changes that other ways didn't change.
I think you make such an excellent point, though. I certainly think talk therapy can be effective. It would be challenging with kids, and it sounds like you're giving them tools that they can use themselves throughout their life, whether they're seeing a therapist or not, and also at no cost.
Exactly. And then later on, as I did more private work with middle and upper middle class children, I found that it was very similar. The kids, they have hearts, they have problems, they have issues, but they all have wisdom inside that with a little bit of guidance, they can access them.
Now, you developed a program using 9 imagery tools. Could you give us a brief overview of some of these tools?
Sure. The idea is to access that wisdom, access that unconscious, wise part. So we want to start when kids are relaxed and yet focused. So I teach them what I call the balloon breath, which is basically breathing into your belly about a couple of inches below your belly button. And you breathe slowly so that when you breathe in, the belly goes out. And when you let the air out, the belly flattens. And it's a basic meditation breath as well. So it really calms and centers children. And once they're there, once they're able to be calm and centered, then we have them create a special place. And the idea of a special place is a sanctuary that might be healing, that might be calming. They could put anything they want there that makes them feel good. And they could add any friends or family they want. But there's one caveat, and that's once the visitor steps through their door to the special place, they love and accept them just the way they are. And I find that's important because if there are fights or issues with people that they really love inside, then this clears it up, and they could go in there to advise them or to keep them company. And once they have this special place, then they can, call in some guides. It could be someone they know, but it could be an animal friend that stands to give them advice or give them a gift to help them solve any issues or problems. Because what happens is animal friends are a way to kind of jump over the defense system. And when you ask a child, why'd you do that? Or, you know, they might say, I don't know. But if they have an animal friend who you ask the same question, it removes their own defenses from the situation, and the animal friend could tell them what to do. So that's very helpful. I mean, I had one girl who was having trouble with her friends at school where They were ignoring her and making her feel bad. And so she called in, actually, she called in a wizard, which is another aspect of another tool that I use. And her wizard gave her a gift of a couple of crystals. One was a heart crystal to love herself, no matter, even if her friends were ignoring her, and also to love her friends, even if they were having a hard time, and a star crystal to make her feel like a star no matter what. And that actually soothed her. She felt much better. She felt so much better that the next day she was able to go up to her friends who she thought were ignoring her at lunchtime. And as girls often do, as kids often do, they didn't know what she was worried about because they just treated her fine. So it might have been in her imagination. It might have been real. It doesn't matter. What matters is that she learned a tool to help her go inside, feel better about herself, and take action from there.
Well, this is fascinating. Now, you had mentioned using drawing, music, and writing. Do you sometimes have the children, like, draw the wizard or make a song up or use their creativity in other ways to reinforce these techniques?
Yes, it's absolutely, I find it absolutely, I wouldn't say essential, but very, very helpful. And because it serves many purposes. One, the drawing is cathartic in itself. So when you draw, you're letting out your feelings, your disturbing emotions. Also, it helps us communicate on another level, because if I'm leading a group, I might not know what's going inside a child's head. If we're doing individual work, sometimes we'll go back and forth, and sometimes we won't. So I could see what was happening. And then we could work with the drawing. Like one boy drew an ocean with a sharks in it, and he was in the water, and it was like he was going to be eaten up. And I just casually said to him, gosh, can anything help? And he said, oh, yeah, we could bring my mom in, and she'll throw me a life vest. And pull me out, which was great because I was able to see the resources he had. And if he couldn't think of anything, I might suggest something and see if that would work. And if that didn't work, then I know that he was more distraught, than I had hoped he'd be. So the drawing is great for that. And I use it in many different ways. This kind of situation where we could work with the drawing, and also to help them visualize how they'd like their life to be. So if they're fighting with their brother and sister and they're miserable, and okay, so they might draw that picture. And then they might draw, how would they like their life to be after they imagine it? And so the more idealized image gives them a goal, and the reason it works so well, not because it's magical and it just happens, but because once they could visualize where they want to go, then they could take the steps to get there. And sometimes they even hang it up in their room to remind them of where they'd like to go.
Now, do you find sometimes that the animal that they choose is a reflection to you of how they feel about themselves or how they feel in the world that they would have a difficult time expressing in words?
Sometimes it's exactly that, and sometimes they pick the opposite. Like one little girl who is scared of leaving her mom, she picked a rabbit as her animal friend, like a scared rabbit, because the rabbit identified with her feelings. Whereas another boy who was going to the doctor and was going to have some medical procedure picked a pride of lions to protect him. So it depends. Either one is wonderful because it helps the child feel safe and they can get information from them.
Do these tools work with all children, and how young can children start to work with these tools to conceptualize what you're talking about?
I find that most of the kids that I work with can use some form of imagery because it's basically tapping into their imagination and the power that's there. Now, if not everybody sees something, sometimes they feel it or they sense it. I had one boy that didn't actually see pictures, because if you get very literal, you close your eyes and you just see black space sometimes. But if they can imagine it by thinking, or he just had a sense of things, like, oh, how much longer was it going to take him to feel safe being on his own at night? And he had a sense he was 80% there. So however they use their imagination works. Now, of course, I wouldn't use it with a child that was, say, very disturbed and schizophrenic, because we want them to have a hold on their reality. And in imagery, we're asking them to take flight a little bit from everyday world. But I've used these tools with kids. You wouldn't believe it, but as young as three, I had one little boy who kind of connected with his heart and his belly wisdom. And we asked, well, what does your heart tell you? What does your belly tell you? And he said, tells me to share with my friends.
How sweet.
And then the idea, as you said, they're tools for life, is to start early so that the kids have access to ways they could learn information for themselves. And I have a chapter in The Power of Your Child's Imagination, grown-ups need tools too, encouraging the parents or therapists to actually use the same tools for their lives.
Yeah, that leads. I'm sorry. That was going to. So, a question I was going to ask you is: do you also, when you work with the children, teach the parents so they understand the language their child is using, or it can be a bonding experience or communication within the family?
Absolutely. As long as the parents are open, mm-hmm. and most parents are, sometimes I'll have them in our session with the kids so that they could learn together, and sometimes they'll listen to one of their relaxation CDs that I have at night with the child, and sometimes just the parents listen for themselves. Although we have one for parents.
Well, we're all under stress.
We certainly are. And the idea is stress is a fact of life, and a little bit of stress is okay, but too much really kind of messes with our chemicals, depresses our immune system, and makes us vulnerable for depression, for sickness. So we want to be able to control it and work with it so that it serves us and that we feel strong and powerful inside for us as parents and therapists and educators and also for the children. I have one girl that every week when I went into her classroom, she would cry, and some boy was making fun of her, and she said, this is my time to cry. So she felt like this was a sacred time for her to process her own issues. And that was the way she did it. So everyone is different, and that's part of the point of what I write, is that I try to encourage people to use their own creativity. I lay the basis with the 9 tools. However, you could go in so many directions, and then you could start making up your own.
Now, you had mentioned before the relationship, I think, is well established, something we all need to be very aware of between stress and physical ailments. So could you explain how you work with these tools for children who are suffering from stress-related physical ailments like headaches or stomach aches?
Yes. You know, I have so many referrals from pediatricians for kids that have stomach aches and headaches, and some of them we could say have a physical base and some don't. And it really doesn't matter because you could use your imagination and its power to help yourself. So, for example, oh gosh, I think about 90% of kids get headaches. I go into classrooms and I ask, how many of you get headaches and stomach aches? Everybody raises their hand. And then
I'll be the teacher too.
And then I ask, how many of you would like to have fewer of them? And of course, everyone raises their hand too. So then I said, great, I'll show you how, which is, it's also a nice way to bring someone into using this new kind of work for them, because if they want to have fewer headaches or stomach aches, then that's great. So one of the techniques for headaches, which is kind of easy and fast, I ask 3 questions. So you have the child, doesn't matter what age, 5 or 18 or 23 or 9, just focus on their balloon breath, their deep breathing, and have their eyes closed if possible, and just breathe. And then I ask 3 questions. What color is the headache? What shape is it? And how heavy is it? And then whatever they say, you just say yes or fine. You have them continue the balloon breath 3 or 4 times, and then you ask those questions again. So you kind of set it up in a round form. And within 3 to 5 minutes, it usually is a big change from sharp and heavy and rather black to rounder and smaller and lighter and maybe going to blue and yellow and white. And often kids say, oh, there's nothing left, or there's just a little bit left, just by this simple relaxation exercise. And sometimes I'll even put my hand about 6 inches away from the side of the headache, and I'll have them, okay, anything that's left, just send it through my hand and out to disappear. Or we'll have a conversation with the headache and find out, what else do I need to know or do to let go of the rest of the pain? And they get interesting comments. I mean, one boy said sleep. One boy said do my balloon breath every day. You get all kinds of information, and that's the point. The information is inside. I want to help the kids and teachers and parents learn how to guide their kids to find those answers. So that's for headaches, for stomach aches. Same kind of an idea. I find out where the symptom is, and headaches and stomach aches are typical, but there are aches and pains all over the body. And we might address, this one little girl whose parents were fighting a lot, and they were actually soon to get divorced. She had terrible stomach aches, and she was picking up on the discord in the home. And so we asked, well, what color could help your tummy ache? And what she pictured was a rainbow. She imagined this swirling rainbow just going through her body, into her belly, and her belly relaxed and let go of the tummy ache. So I don't know the answers, but the kids do. So I just lead them, and whatever they tell me, that's what we use. Sometimes colors work, and that's another tool. Sometimes colors could soothe an aching heart or a tummy that's hurting or a headache. Sometimes it's information. Sometimes it's a gift from an animal friend or a guide.
Now, one big problem that is getting a lot of attention is really serious is bullying. So are there different suggestions of how teachers can use these tools to reduce bullying at school?
Yes, and I think that's really important because we want to create harmony in the kids at school. I think you could address this in several ways. One is the whole class. For example, when I was going into classes, one teacher in the fifth grade said, after a while, the kids were just getting along better because we were creating an atmosphere of calmness and connection and love between them. One principal actually purchased my Climbing a Mountain Success CD for every teacher in his school so that the school year could start really well. And so you could start in a general way because you don't want to just focus on the bully if you're working with your whole class. But sometimes you have to. And I'm thinking about a little boy who was a terrible bully and nobody wanted to play with him. And he didn't really understand why. So I had him imagine an animal friend to help him understand why other kids weren't going to play with him. And the animal friend gave him the information that his teachers already told him, that his parents already told him, and that was, people don't feel good when they're with you. You're mean to them. So he had that. He knew that was going on, but he couldn't hear it from his parent or his teacher, but he could from his animal friend. So then his animal friend gave him a gift of speaking words in a kinder manner. And that really helped him. Just that little bit of connection where we're not blaming him, where we're empathizing with him. And you could teach empathy the same way. You could have him imagine being in the other person's position or getting a wizard to help him be, you know, strong and kind. One girl who was such a bully, she actually had, for her anger, a red bull in her knee. And she said the red bull came out to protect her from the red bull in other people. So in other words, when kids were mean to her, she would just be meaner right back. And then that gave her reputation for being a terrible bully. At least in her mind, she thought she was responding to them. The other kids didn't, of course. So then what she did was she imagined a white filter in her neck that could filter out her mean words, the red bull, and make the words come out not so mean, she said. And then, even on top of that, she brought in an animal friend that gave her a gift of a love potion. And when she sprinkled the love potion on the bull, he kind of went to sleep and became this calm, cute little creature.
She has a whole children's story there. It would be great to read. You know, when you were speaking particularly about the animal friends and the kids' imagination, my understanding, and from working with some people from different cultures, and a lot of other cultures, they find the American way very direct in how we talk to our kids, like, don't do this, don't do that. And they said when they were brought up, most important lessons were conveyed to them through stories or fables where it was not, didn't feel so threatening, where they could identify with an animal. Do you suggest that parents do things like this instead of just do this, don't do that, do be a doobie, don't be a don't be?
Right. I try to help them focus on the positive and to go in what I call the side door and not the front door. Because you want to align with your child. They have to feel like you're on their team. Even if you feel that you need to correct the behavior, They need to feel that you understand them. And once they feel that, then we could go in the side door. And I always encourage parents to tell stories from their own lives, sort of like their own little personal fable or parable, to show a child how things work. So it's a very similar viewpoint. And then it could go in softly.
Yes, I think if kids are fortunate enough to have grandparents around, I know my kids were always delighted when my parents would, did you know she did this when she was little? You
yeah.
did? Well, that wasn't the story I necessarily would have shared, but.
Yes. Kids love that. They really love mm-hmm. when their parents, you know, talk about their own frailties. It helps them feel more, I don't know, better about themselves. Because they often see their parents as so perfect, and of course later on maybe not so perfect when they're teenagers, but still it really helps them understand like what it means to be human, that we all make mistakes, and learning and growing is a lifetime process. You're not perfect ever, and there's no need to be. You just have to be you.
Yes, and I think it's wonderful how you're giving children and adults tools, like you said, that empowers them, that draws on their own imagination, that we can use throughout our life.
And one of the most important ones we just touched upon was checking in with the heart and belly, because our gut feelings seem to have their own brain. There's some research that shows that some of the cells that are similar in our brain are lining our gut, and there's some research with the heart that it seems to have a mind of its own, even with anecdotal evidence from heart transplant patients. It doesn't happen to everyone, but sometimes people report that they have characteristics of the donor hearts. For example, they might like the same ice cream, or they start liking something else that they've never liked before. So our heart and our belly have a lot of information. They really try to help children connect not just their mind, which of course is so important, but connect to the wisdom of their heart and belly and respond from a position of an integration of that, which is much more powerful. And to check, how does my heart feel about that? How's my gut feeling? Even when kids, you know, when they get older and there's a lot of peer pressure to do drugs or alcohol, like really check in, get centered, check in. How does this feel to me? One girl that was hurting herself checked in with the part of her body she was hurting, and it said, this is hurting me. But she thought it was no big deal. But it hurts her. And having that awareness helps the kids make those decisions in a better way for themselves. So I want to really emphasize checking with the heart and belly. And sometimes I just do like a one-minute exercise just when they wake up. Just tune in and see what your heart message is for the day. See what your belly message is for the day.
Oh, I think that's excellent advice. I think we've all had the experience of being around somebody and thinking what's coming out of their mouth or what they say they're thinking or actually think they're thinking or what their motivation is just does not seem to hook up with what I'm feeling. I think it also helps in just reading other people and going, you know, there's a reason I'm uncomfortable here.
Right, exactly. So it's really developing their intuition. And it's very important to do that.
Oh, yeah, certainly reduce our stress and give us a guide to get through life.
Sure, sure. Because so many times people are like you said, they're saying one thing, but they're not really believing it. And it makes us feel uncomfortable, and we think, oh, are we crazy? You know, what's going on here? So to trust yourself. You don't have to confront them. You just know, okay, something's off here.
Now, you also mentioned you have a CD that goes with the book. Could you just tell me about how that and how parents or teachers would use the CD?
Oh, you know what? I have so many CDs.
Oh, great.
I do because I was really motivated years ago to offer these therapeutic relaxation CDs so that when you're home, when the kids aren't in my office, when they're across the country, that they could have something to comfort themselves. One girl listened to the Discovering Your Special Place CD for 4 years while her parents were going through a difficult divorce just to comfort her like every single night. And for the book, what I did was there's a lot of, you know, information, advice in the book, but at the end of many of the chapters there are guided journeys, guided meditations, guided imageries, which parents or teachers can read or record themselves. But what I did in a studio with music is I recorded them. So there's the 9 foundation tools that will help kids learn how to connect to all these tools. And then there's all these different subjects, learning to love yourself from day one. Just goes through the chapters of the book, connecting to the heart. There's one for parents. And the parents have their own special CD because they really need support. And then besides that, I have Creating a Magical Garden and Healing Pond, which in a study, in a pilot study from a children's hospital, was found to help reduce pain and increase relaxation in kids that had spinal surgery. And then there's Climbing a Mountain of Success, and that's the idea that, gosh, imagine yourself getting through life and being successful at what you want to do. In fact, a girl from, oh gosh, when I first started out, she found me years ago and said, you know what? She was like the student body president in high school at this point. And she said, whenever I'm in front of the kids, the audience, the students, I always think of myself at the top of the mountain of success.
Well, this has been absolutely fascinating. So could you please give our listeners again the title of your book and the URL of your website?
The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. And if you want to buy the book, I would actually go to my website because I have a link where you could get like 80 free gifts. And the website, if you put in your Amazon confirmation number. And the website is www.imagery4kids.com, and that 4 is F-O-R. And if people could get the top 10, I have the top 10 things that kids want from their want and need from their parents. So go to my website, and if they could sign up for that as well. And it gets to them instantly when they sign up for the newsletter, so we could keep in touch.
Well, Dr. Resnick, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the Psych Journey podcast.
It's a pleasure, and I'm always here to help kids empower themselves through their imagination.
Thank you.